You may have noticed that today's episode is a little bit late. There's a good reason for that. I'm excited to announce that Benchmark Books has become a new sponsor of Gospel Tangents. We're teaming up together and we're going to offer a contest to give away a free book. Not just any book, this is the Parallel Doctrine and Covenants that compares the 1832, 1833, and 1835 Doctrine and Covenants side by side, so you can see the changes. When it was originally published, it was about $50. But the book is now out of print. Kurt Bench was actually the one who wrote the introduction to this book. It's a fairly recent book, but if you find it on Amazon now, check this out. It's $175. On Aid Books, it's even higher, $260. This book is a very valuable book and has become a collector's item, especially for historians or those seriously interested in Mormon history. Here's what you need to do for a chance to win. Just go to gospeltangents.com/newsletter. In there, enter your email address and your name, and we'll simply put you in a contest for a drawing on Pioneer Day, July 24th. I figured that was appropriate for podcasting with Mormon history. We'll announce winners here on our podcast in the next day or two after that on air, and then we'll ask for your address. We're only going to ship to the continental United States, so otherwise shipping just becomes too expensive, and this is a very large book. I also want to add, this is Kurt Bench here, we've got transcripts available of some of our recent episodes on Gospel Tangents, and they're available on Amazon. Even if you don't live in the United States, you can get those for just $9.99 on your Kindle, no shipping required. If you'd like a paperback copy, they're about $12 or so. So anyway, I'm excited to have Gospel Tangents team up with Benchmark Books, and I hope you enjoy our next episode. When we talk about Mormon polygamy, we usually mean polygyny, the idea of a man having more than one wife. The opposite of that is called polyandry, a woman having more than one husband. Did you know that Joseph Smith was sealed to women who were already legally married to other men? We're going to talk about one specific case where Dr. Brian Hales believes that Joseph and Sylvia Sessions Lyon were parents of one of the offspring of Joseph Smith. We did a DNA test to find out if Joseph was the father of Josephine Lyon or if Windsor Lyon was the father. It's a pretty interesting story. I hope you'll check it out. All right, well, let's jump back. As we started this, we started talking about polyandry or proxy husbands. And I know recently, I believe it was last year at Mormon History Association, you had said that you thought that Joseph had had sexual relations with Sylvia Sessions Lyon, if I remember the name right. DNA tests came back and that wasn't true. What are your opinions on that, specifically on that marriage now? As far as were there sexual relations there or not?
Do you know, the evidence, I will say, is ambiguous. But for years, and if you read my three volumes, I theorize that the marriage between Joseph Smith and Sylvia Sessions Lyon did include plural marriage, and I had some theories to go, or I'm sorry, did include sexual relations in that plural marriage. And I had some theories as how that might have unfolded. When the DNA evidence came back, and part of the theory was that Joseph was the father of Josephine.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, that's an important point. But when the DNA evidence came back that Windsor Lyon was the father, it required me to rewrite things. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't what I expected, but it was what I had hoped. It's a lot easier to understand Joseph Smith's plural marrying, particularly these sealings to already married women. It's a lot easier to understand them if he is not the father of Josephine. And I argue that the evidence is ambiguous, and that the fact that if Joseph had actually practiced polyandry, he would have been so contrary to the Bible. There's only really one direct message. Paul mentions it once, and he condemns it as adultery. It's in Romans. So the Bible condemns it, but it's also in frontier America. If a man is sexually involved with your wife, you can kill that man, and the law's not going to go after you. most of the time, and we've got examples of it, clear
it
up
happened
until
with Parley P. Pratt, right?
Exactly, Parley P. Pratt and others, where the law just was looking the other way, and it was almost expected that either the husband, or if she wasn't married, a brother or father, but some other male relative would exact corporal punishment or capital punishment on the individual who committed this. And so Joseph, if he had actually been involved with these men, he would have had to have been 100% secret, worrying about his life if it was discovered, or have 100% complicity with the husband, which is not recorded in any case. And so it would have been beyond novel. It would have been very controversial. And so I'm saying that the little bit of ambiguous evidence that the critics have accumulated to say Joseph practiced it, and it is ambiguous. There's no unambiguous evidence saying that a woman ever believed she had two husbands in Nauvoo. And we're not looking for a woman saying, yeah, I had sex with him and I had sex with him. That's not going to be found. But a woman, her family, a letter, or some other communication saying that a woman actually had two husbands or defending that idea, none of that is available. And I'm arguing that if it were an actual teaching, it would have been defended, and it would have been highly criticized by those who would have found it so repulsive they would have left the church, or the critics would have picked up on it. We don't have anything. So I'm arguing that ambiguous evidence on something that would have been explosive is not enough for me to say Joseph practiced sexual polyandry, and that's a term that I've used a lot in the past, but mm-hmm. just a woman having more than one husband.
So let's talk a little bit about that timeline with Sylvia Sessions Lyon. So as I recall, so she married Windsor Lyon. They were married for a time. I believe Windsor got excommunicated or something. And so it was in this period where he was excommunicated that Joseph supposedly was sealed to Sylvia.
Right.
And then perhaps they had sexual relations. I think you're telling me that's ambiguous. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay, so the question is, was Josephine conceived while Joseph and Sylvia were married? And that would therefore prove that he had sexual relations with her. Sounds like evidence says, no, it was with Windsor. So the conception must have happened after, well, I'm a little confused on the timeline, but supposedly she got back together with Windsor. So I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you said these were serial marriages, not polyandrous marriages, in that she had two husbands, but you're saying that she was married to Windsor, she was essentially religiously divorced, maybe not legally divorced, and then she got back together with Windsor. Is that correct?
That's what I've written in my books, and that's what I've had to rewrite. I don't
believe. Oh, okay. You don't believe that anymore?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But if somebody is interested, if you go on YouTube, before I gave my MHA presentation, and what the MHA presentation does is gives four interpretations of the new DNA evidence. And one of them is polyandry. That's one of the four. But I also, a second one was that there was no marriage at all, that they had no sealing or anything. And then I go through two others. I'd have to go back and look. But all of the possibilities I talk about and the evidence is supporting them. The one I came down against in that presentation, and before I gave it, I actually recorded it as a video. It's a 20-minute video.
I do remember watching it, but it's been a while.
But all the evidence, everything is there. It's still valid today. There's been nothing really new, though. Don Bradley has been out doing more research, and he hasn't found anything super helpful, except that we do know that Josephine lived close, and there's a family tradition that says that her stepsister also lived close, and she said she was present at the same time that Josephine was when Sylvia said that they are daughters of Joseph. And the question is, are they daughters physically or are they daughters spiritually? I had thought physically for Josephine, but the argument is that they were both there, so it had to be spiritually. Now, that may be a little confusing, so I'll just leave you to refer people to maybe to that video, and they can hear all about it. But the family tradition has been reinforced by some other things that Joseph Smith or that Don Bradley has found out about their situations. But family traditions are notorious for being false. So again, even though they've believed it for many years, doesn't mean it's true. It just supports that interpretation, which is that this was nothing more than a sealing. And the language is that Sylvia was sealed to Joseph when Windsor was out of the church. Now, if this were a polyandrous marriage, whether Windsor was out of the church or not would be unimportant. Who cares? Okay, because if it's a polyandrous marriage, she's still having relations with him, and then they get married. It would have no meaning. But if Windsor's excommunicated, and it's in November 23rd, I think, of 1843, then, 1842, then Sylvia can't be sealed to Windsor. So that would make perfect sense for her to seek out Joseph to be sealed to him just for the next life, an eternity-only sealing. And right now, Laura and I have gone through the evidence on these 11 polyandrous marriages. We think all of them were just for the next life. Why the women chose Joseph over their legal husbands, sometimes these men were active Latter-day Saints, we don't know. It seems odd. Okay, but it's not as odd as them being practicing actual sexual polyandry without anybody ever talking about it. Or finding that to be controversial.
Okay. No evidence of that. So your opinion is of all the 11 polyandrous marriages where women could have two husbands, essentially, none of them involved sexual relations?
Correct.
That's your opinion. Okay.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about, I believe it was
Rick,
Orson.
Let me interrupt,
go ahead.
If people go to my books, they're going to be confused because I used the word 11. The 12th polyandrous marriage on the chart is Sarah Ann Whitney to Joseph C. Kingsbury, which was a front marriage. Everybody involved with that realized that she was sealed to Joseph, but apparently there was some legal issues going on, so Joseph asked Kingsbury to just have a legal marriage but not consummate the marriage, and everybody agrees that was the relationship. That's number 12. And number 13 is Lucinda Pendleton, who we know just nothing about. And the fourth one is Mary Heron, who we have one attestation that connects her and Joseph sexually, but we don't know any of the details. So if somebody goes to my chart, there's actually 14 women on that.
Oh, okay.
But 11 of them, we believe, were eternity only. Two are just undocumented, so we just take your guess. And then we have this pretend marriage with Sarah Ann. So 14 total.
Oh, okay.
Women.
Well, great. Well, let's talk, and I believe it was either Orson Hyde or Orson Pratt. I always get those two mixed up. One of them, Joseph, sent on a mission and then supposedly married his wife while he was on a mission. Can you talk about that story?
It's a great story. In 1842, John C. Bennett wrote a book called History of the Saints. And if we wanted to take a minute, I just bought an original copy of it.
Oh,
and
no
I
way.
Have it upstairs.
Oh, you're
it's
kidding.
Worth thousands of dollars. But,
oh, my goodness.
And it's got writing from 1842 in it. It's pretty exciting to me. But in that book, he says that Joseph would send men on missions and marry their wives. Well, of the 14 women, we know that 11 of them, their husbands were not on missions. Two of the men, we don't have a date for the marriage, so we can't say. The only one of them that we know was on a mission was Orson Hyde. Orson Hyde went to Palestine with the 12. We all know the story. Over a year later, we have a sealing date between him and Orson Hyde's wife, Mirinda.
Between Joseph and Mirinda.
The problem is we have two sealing dates for Joseph and Mirinda. The other date is from an affidavit that Mirinda signed. That is well after Orson Hyde returning from Palestine. So even the one that appears to be a case where Joseph might have sent him on a mission, but then he waits a year. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But a year later, we have Joseph being sealed to Mirinda. But again, we even have a second date. So we don't. And the second date is a signed affidavit, which we probably would consider to be more reliable than something that was just scrawled on a page of Joseph's journal, not in his handwriting, but in, I think, Thomas Bullock's. But again, that story is false, and yet it's a sound bite. It's all over the internet. We've got to kill it. It's wrong. It's false. Joseph did not send men on missions so he could marry their wives, according to any reliable documentation.
I've always heard that was reliable, so that's interesting. All right. So let's see. So he had 14 potentially polyandrous marriages. He had the one with Fanny. What about the other? How many are there?
By my count, he was sealed to 35.
35.
But by my dear wife's count, it was 33, which corresponds to Todd Compton's 33. Todd had some additional possible wives and all. I don't think any of them. Mary Harron was on that list, actually, but not Esther Dutchin.
So let's go back to, I guess, 132 once again. I keep going back there. So it does say that polygamy was around to raise up seed. So why do you think there were no offspring, or at least no known offspring, of Joseph and a polygamous wife?
Again, a great question. And I had theorized, and if you read my books, you'll find there are two that I thought were Joseph's. Josephine being one. We know by DNA that wasn't. The other one is, and there's an account from Joseph Lee Robinson saying that Joseph and Olive Frost had a child. And it was a single attestation, and I had discounted it. But then I heard an interview read between Joseph F. Smith and a guy named Whitehead, blocking on his first name. He was a secretary to Joseph in Nauvoo. He arrived kind of late, but he could write and helped out there. So he was close enough to know what was going on. And I heard the interview read. It hasn't been published, even still. And I interpreted that as being that Joseph had a wife, Olive Frost, and they had a child. Well, since that day and night, that was what I was going on when I wrote my book, the transcript of that interview has been released, and John Hayashek owns that, and he's a friend, and allowed that transcript to come out. It's clear the child was between Olive and Brigham. Brigham Young married several of Joseph's wives after the martyrdom. The timeline only allows Brigham
to... Was that
to
passed to you up at Mormon History?
Yeah,
I remember that.
It came in on my phone as a text message from John, because I said, John, I really want to make sure what I'm saying here is accurate. And so he sent it to me, a nice guy that he is, and I was able to verify what I had already written up and made into slides as being accurate. And so we drop Olive's... child. We don't even know the gender because both she and the child died before they left Nauvoo. And then we take Josephine off the table, and that just leaves accusations and not a single documented child to Joseph. At least I think seven of them have been disproven through DNA, and the others are pretty dubious. But I have a chart. It's at josephsmithpolygamy.org. It's at Mormon Polygamy Documents as well. But you can find it there where I've got them all listed. There's like 20 accusations. And what Don Bradley and I have done over the years is we've tried to trace these down. And what we find is that if a family can tie Joseph to be the father of some child, they're just, if he's anywhere within 50 miles of when this child's conceived, some of these families are just willing to accuse Joseph. And in one case, there were people leaving the church because they were so appalled by the fact that Joseph had this child, and then DNA comes out and shows it isn't, you know. So rumors can be very strong in families, and we have to be really careful with them. But there's no documented children.
Okay, so but you do hold, even though with the polyandrous wives, there was probably, you're saying there was probably no sexual relations. There were sexual relations with others, just no offspring.
Again, in Appendix E, I compiled all of the evidences that had been available to that point. Of course, it doesn't have the DNA now to disprove the one, but I show 12 possible evidences of sexuality with 12 of the wives. Some of the evidence is deposition level, you know, signed attestation type of thing, and some of it is really dubious. But I there's no evidence for more than 12. Personally, I believe he probably had two that went by other names, and DNA... Two children by the plural wives. There is one account by George A. Smith, I think, where he recounts how he came up to Joseph, and the account is that he approaches Joseph and he says, "What's up?" So I guess they had the same kind of conversational words that we have here. But what's up? And Joseph is washing his hands, saying that Emma served as a midwife, and one of his plural wives had just delivered a baby. And this very easily could have been, say, between September of 43 and Joseph's death, because he had several plural wives living in the Nauvoo mansion under the watchful eye of Emma, and we don't know anything about the dynamics of that home. I mean, Emma could have just kept them separate all the time, or she could have allowed some interactions. We don't know, but if you want to look at a timeline, you know, she may have actually felt okay about polygamy and allowed and participated in this as a midwife. Again, speculation, but that account was repeated several times and it wasn't George Albert Smith's. I'm blocking on which of his leaders. He was a polygamist, but left this story. But you put that with Mary Elizabeth Rollins' recollection of two or three children by Joseph's plural wives. What you find is scattered evidences from pretty good sources, but they're late, but documenting that Joseph had at least one, if not two or three, children. But we have no idea who they are.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Brian Hales. We're not done talking about controversial marriages just yet. In our next episode, we'll talk about Joseph Smith's attempts to marry young women, even teenagers in some cases.
There are two 14-year-olds. The other 14-year-old was Nancy Maria Winchester, and we don't know anything about that relationship when it happened. She may have been 15. My bet is she was 14. But Helen Mar Kimball is the one 14-year-old, and for several reasons, I don't believe that relationship was consummated. But Joseph gets accused of all kinds of crazy things. People even call him a pedophile.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.